I've clicked record. I'm going to do the sound test first because you always go first, and it's just not fair to you to put you on the spot. So here's my sound test. Check the levels here. Dr. Potato was only 57 when he died. Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, you go.
Okay. It was the best of podcasts. It was the worst of podcasts.
Well, you're half right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the worst of podcasts. I'm Jason Mark. And with me in the virtual studio is Joe. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Siv Neil. And
that's me.
That was everything that I had thought of to introduce today's show, singing Joe's name like this. Joe, whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. And so that's going to have to do. Sorry, I've been taking a lot of antidepressant medication.
Well, welcome to Just Because It's.
Yeah, episode 30.
Ah, yeah. The big 3-0. I had forgotten about that. This is a milestone, right?
It's
anything
total.
With a zero at the end has got to be important.
Yeah. Do you remember when you turned 30, what it was like? Wait a minute, how old are you?
About to be 40.
Yeah, so do you remember
this
what
year.
It was like?
I remember turning 30. That was like one of the last big birthday parties that I had.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Was it a thing? Was it a thing where you're like, oh, shit, I'm not in my 20s anymore, I'm old? Or was it like, yeah, whatever?
You know, how I've dealt with age is this. When I was 25, I was like, well, that's pretty much the end of my fucking 20s. getting up there now.
Yeah.
By the time I hit 30, I was like I've been 30 for 5 years. I dealt with that transition a long time ago. And that just kept rolling over and rolling over. So, like, ever since about 33, I was like, ah, wrapping these fucking 30s up, man. I'm going to die soon. And now that I'm actually turning 40... I'm prepared to be 55, 60.
Okay.
It's just basically sprinting into a brick wall, and that brick wall is my ultimate demise.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. When I turned – I remember when I turned 20, it was just like, yep, that's what you do. Here we go. This is it. You know, it was like, okay. And then I turned 30, and I was like, all right, you're 30 now. Time to be an adult, you know. And then I remember when I was 39 looking at 40, I was thinking – what the fuck happened to my life? I didn't do anything. But I'm halfway through my 40s now. I'm looking at 50. And I guess what I'm getting at, Joe, is if our 50th episode is what I expect my 50th year to be, you know, there's going to be some Depends. There's going to be some Viagra. And
well, Depends.
I don't know. Anyway, none of that has anything to do with the latest book I read, which I'd love to talk to you about, unless you want to tell me about the latest book you've read. And no, the book that I've most recently read is not a book written by anybody that I know. I'm still in the middle of reading a book by somebody that I know. I haven't finished it yet, but I've been enjoying it so far.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I could say the same thing. Yeah, I'm right in the middle of a book by someone, authored by someone I'm quite close with, and I'm really liking it.
Oh, you are good.
I've laughed out loud a couple times.
Oh, excellent.
A couple of pages I read again because I was enjoying it like that much. It was good stuff.
Yeah.
Excited to finish it. I wanted to finish it before this show, but I wasn't able to do that.
We're busy. We're both busy. I too wanted to finish the book that I'm reading that was written by somebody who's also close to me. Not physically close. I mean, like, for example, I mean, it's I'm not trying to identify who wrote the book that I'm now reading, but this person is not as physically close as, like, if you were, you're in Davenport, Iowa, I'm in Seattle, Texas, that's a couple, 100,000 miles or so. The person who wrote this book, I'm close to that person, but it's like that kind of distance in terms of physical closeness is what I'm trying to say.
Right. I see.
Yeah.
Hey, but before we go further into talking about books,
yeah,
which I'm kind of excited about.
Okay, good.
I'm also a little apprehensive about it because I think I'm going to expose myself as someone who, well, I might just expose myself, literally. You won't be able to see that. But then I might expose myself as someone who is not really quite as well-read as he would like peers to think.
We're going
to
talk about that. Yeah. We'll talk about that very thing.
So that might...
But before that, I had to
just address this before we move on. You said when you were turning 40, you were kind of struggling with that and already like thinking about your mortality and what have I done with my life and shit, right?
Yeah.
That's like a classic textbook. Like that's a, well, in Taco Bell parlance, we call that a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
And you had one of those. I wonder if I'm going to have one. It should be happening any time now. Yeah. Maybe I'll have one by the end of the show. But what was yours like?
Well, I was like everything I do. It was, you know, if it was indeed a crisis, it was very mediocre, very nonchalant. It was like, oh, crap, I haven't done anything with my life. But that's okay. Nobody really does. Who cares? Let's have pizza. So my wife threw a huge party for me. It was a lot of fun. And the theme of the party, maybe we should talk about this on our 40th episode.
Maybe you're right. You mentioned it.
I did, yes.
I kind of wanted to hear about it, but you know, my 40th birthday is coming up too, and I think it's going to be, holy shit, it might be on the 40th episode-ish. No, that's going to be before that. Anyway, yeah, we can do a 40th episode thing. We can talk about how I'm about to be 40, and you can talk about your terrible midlife crisis and how you pulled through by not giving a fuck and eating pizza.
Yeah, I can tell you that what has got me through much of my life, including my 40s, is reading books. And I know that sounds like a ham-handed segue, but it's true. I love to read, and there are a couple of years in my life where life was crazy enough that I didn't get to read very much, and I kind of let it slip between my fingers, which is not an apt metaphor in the least, but I've recently, the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, come back to it with gusto. Been reading quite a bit. My goal, Joe, and you tell me if this is something you can appreciate, my goal is to read 52 books every year. Ooh. Every year. A book per week is the average I want to hit.
Holy shit, dude. There's no way I could do that.
Well, I read a lot of really short and shitty books, so that's kind of how I keep it going.
Oh, shitty books. We'll hear more about that later. Just keep that. put a pen in that. Shitty
okay.
books.
Sure, sure.
But that doesn't surprise me. You read really fast. I considered – well, it's – again, doesn't surprise me that you're like a voracious reader, and I know that you're a writer. Mm-hmm. And the way that you speak is that of someone who reads a lot and writes a lot.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Anybody that writes a lot should fucking be reading a lot too,
yes.
I think.
Yes. Absolutely.
Here's my problem, and my dad, who was irresponsible as a parent, he has the same problem as me when it comes to reading books, which is, to me, it's like taking a sedative. It's like taking a sleeping pill.
Yeah, yeah.
I love reading, but I'm asleep real quick. So it takes me to read a book in a week. Fuck, man, I don't think I've ever done that. So I kind of envy that.
Well, I can tell you,
I make it a few paragraphs. I go to sleep.
Yeah,
And then you can imagine when I try to read again, I have to kind of review the last two paragraphs. Mm-hmm. If you do the math, that kind of means that every book that I've read, I've almost read it twice.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Anyway.
It's definitely something you've got to set aside time for. And, you know, in as much as this is a podcast and our subject tonight is books, I do want to, you know, give that advice to people. If you want to read, you got to make time for it. I think that we definitely live in a world of convenience where we do things because it's convenient. We have our TV shows are on demand, so we watch what we want to watch when we're doing other things like eating dinner. You know, back in the day, you would schedule your TV watching like a Star Trek Next Generation's on at such and such a time, and I am planning my life around that. And you kind of got to do the same thing with books nowadays. I mean, they were the original on-demand entertainment, but the irony is now you have to say, okay, I am going to, this Tuesday evening, spend 3 hours reading because I want to read this book. That's my advice to people. It can't be a matter of convenience. That was the thing that I suffered from, and I wasn't getting anything done because I'm just like you. If I read any time after 8 p.m., I'm going to be asleep. So
Go ahead, Jason.
I'm sorry. I just to belabor the point. I work from home, so it's easy for me to set time aside in my work day to read. So I'm kind of like it's a little bit of privilege there that I'm speaking from, I guess I should say.
Well, I did. I think something happened to me through my 20s. I read a lot more, and it's exactly what you said. I looked forward to. My entertainment was reading books more so than anything else. Like I liked movies and stuff, but I read a lot more in my 20s and maybe early 30s because I would look forward to the next kind of reading session. Again, oftentimes I would go to sleep, but I was reading every day, you know? Yeah. And so that kind of worked out for me. But once I went to grad school, that's for my Taco Bell career.
Yeah.
Grad school, Bel Grande, Supreme. And,
not a skate school. It was a private school, huh? The Supreme. Yeah. Anyway, dumb joke. Go ahead.
No, that was good. I appreciate that. But academically, it wasn't out loud funny. I considered it in my brain and realized, yes, that was a funny joke.
Okay. Thank you.
but I had to read so much shit. Not for pleasure, but mm-hmm. just, you know, to get through the program. And you can imagine some of the books that you have to read in grad school, Bel Grande. It was just mind-numbing shit. Anyway, it almost turned me off of reading a little bit, and I haven't been as big of a reader ever since.
Sure.
And, that's kind of what happened to me.
No, I hear what you're saying. I will definitely, if I'm in the middle of a book that's either difficult or I don't like or whatever, I've gotten to the point where I could say, okay, just stop reading it because I don't have to finish the book. We could talk about that too. But it definitely like puts a canker on my reading desire, and I'll find it hard to pick up any book after that. I'm kind of in that situation right now. I'm in the middle of 3 books, not because I read many books at the same time, just because each one has been like, ugh. And it's hard for me to kind of get back in the swing of things. I am on pace to – I've read 33 books this year so far. I've read 33 books in 33 weeks
shit.
In a year. And like I said, not all of them are like long or good or anything like that. But I'm going to have to do some catch up here with some short pieces. Do you want to talk about some of our favorite books? I mean, where do you want to go with this? Do you want to talk about reading habits or favorite authors?
Yeah, I mean, we could do all of that, but I was wondering just now as you were speaking, you kind of already said you don't do this all the time, but I used to read books almost like flipping channels, you know what I mean? Like, let's say, kind of like how shows are now. So like if you watch an episode of Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
But then you have another show that you watch and then you watch an episode of that. I used to kind of read like that. So I would have 2 or 3 books going, especially, and that made me feel good. You kind of touched on this too, because if one of the books is getting super boring, I can still read it, but I feel satisfied by the other books. So I'm kind of bouncing between a few books.
Okay. No, I hear
and
what
again,
saying.
That's yeah. So that sounds like kind of what you're doing now, but maybe you've done that from time to time.
Well, the reason why I'm in the middle of these books is because of an artifact of a different thing that I want to bring up. My preferred way of reading is e-books, and I know a lot of people poo-poo e-books. They say I like the feel of a real book in my hand. I say, well, that's great, but your hands aren't reading; it's your brain. And I want the most convenient method, and for me that is, if I hear about a book I want to read, first thing I do is I go to the library online and see if it's there available online, and if it is, then I just download it and I have it. I didn't have to go to a bookstore, I didn't have to call up Amazon, I didn't have to walk to my library or drive or whatever. We're talking about instant gratification, and I've got it. And I'm also a person who doesn't like to own a lot of shit, so having an e-reader is great because instead of lugging, you know, literally tons of books if I move, it's just a matter of lugging, you know, my my e-reader with me. So I'm in the middle of these three books because I was having a problem with my e-reader. So there you go. I'm championing e-readers and telling you I have problems with them. But I was having a problem, so in order to fix it, I had to download a couple extra books to see if I had fixed the problem. And I did, but now I've got three books stacked up as opposed to just the one I would be in the middle of. So no, I don't normally read more than one book at a time because I'm not that smart. I have to finish one and think about it and then move on. So reading them all at the same time.
You're one book at a time guy. That's, yeah. I respect that.
Yeah. I would get confused.
See, I'm one of those douche berries that wow, that's a stupid word.
Doucheberry.
I wanted something, you know, like hipster douchebag dingleberry, like, and then doucheberry came out of my
sure,
mouth.
Sure, why not? Hey.
Anyway,
wasn't doucheberry a relief pitcher for the 83 Mets? Never mind, go ahead. I don't know, I'm being stupid.
Doucheberry?
Yeah.
Number 72?
Yeah.
I don't know if baseball numbers go that high.
I don't either.
Tangent. Let me, what the fuck was I talking about? Oh, yeah. I'm one of those asshole hipster douchebag dingleberries that.
Yeah.
I will, and I'll lie to you later about it. I now listen to books while I'm doing yard work, cleaning, or like driving around and shit. And so I'll listen to a book, and then I'll tell a motherfucker that I read a book.
I think that counts. Honestly, I do. I think if you listen to it, that's, I mean, unless it was abridged, but if you listen to it, that counts as far as I'm concerned.
I do try to stick with the unabridged. That takes a long time, but you can imagine I can move through quite a few books because I have a lot of yard work to do.
Yeah, yeah. Just to close off the tangent, yeah, baseball numbers do go up to as high as 99. So you're
okay,
cool there.
That's good.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find out who wore number 72 on the 83 Mets. And when I do, I will tell you. And
Roderick Doucheberry?
Yeah, if it is, that would be hilarious.
Actually, if that
oh, here
is
we go.
True.
I found it. Fucking A. Carlton Fisk. Wait,
I thought you were going to say Fister, and then that would have made me feel pretty good about everything. But if you actually said Doucheberry, I would have gotten frightened, deeply frightened to my core. I think we would have had to just stop the fucking podcast, and I would have had to go collect myself.
Yeah, and he didn't play for the Mets. Sorry, he played for... played for the White Sox. It would have been funny if that had been, and it's not, it's, we have definitely done things where we know we're going to talk about something and we foreshadow it by talking about something else. That's not what happened here. Let's not talk about baseball though. Let's talk about books. Are you reading, besides the book that you're reading by the person that you know, are you reading anything else right now, Joe, or did you read something recently that you want to mention?
I've got this thing. I read and reread and listen to and re-listen to, you know, and maybe this is commonplace and,
hey, quit, you don't sell yourself short. There's no, I don't care if you're going to tell me you listen to and read Twilight three times a year. That's totally 100% fine. So just tell me, what is it you're reading?
Well, I'm not reading it right now, but I've read all of Stephen King's short horror stories are great.
Yeah.
And Stephen King's short horror stories, I'll read them over and over again. I'll listen to them over and over again. I think they're great. And I listen to other horror short stories and they all seem to kind of, they don't fucking do it for me. Like Stephen King knows how to satisfy me.
He does.
Not sexually. But
well, I mean, some
his
of his
stories are good.
Yeah, I have not. I used to be a huge Stephen King fan back in the day, and I had an experience where I was reading. He wrote a book called Rose Matter, I think. Right? Is that what it was called?
Yeah. See, I never read that one. And a lot of his full length novels, I haven't read, but I have read a few of his full length novels. Okay. I actually have a story about that.
Okay, good.
A little
good.
Bit later, but Rose Matter, what's up with that?
I was in an airport in France, and because of some scheduling snafus, I was in the airport with, I had a plane ticket, but I had no money, and I was there 24 hours early. So I couldn't leave and go do anything. So I was stuck in this airport for 24 hours. I had a little bit of food with me, but so it was, I don't know, and I had a copy of Rose Matter, and so I think it was around, I want to say 2 a.m. I am just dog-ass tired. I still got, like, you know, 12 hours to go before I get on the plane, and I'm reading Rose Matter, and you know Stephen King can get pretty graphic in places, and it just, being that exhausted and in a foreign place and in an uncomfortable place and being, you know, just the whole thing, and then reading this, something in my brain just went, and ever since then, I feel like Stephen King's writing has been a little too visceral for me, a little too, it just, it I've got PTSD.
He fucked with your brain. He fucked with your emotions, traumatized you, and now you couldn't go back. Wow.
Yeah. I can tell
good
you.
Good job, Steve.
Yeah, when I was a little kid, and my mom would take us to the used bookstore, she would go to this used bookstore called the Pied Piper all the time, because my mom loves books. If I'm a voracious eater, my mom my mom is a glutton. She'll read a book a day, no problem. But we would go to this used bookstore, and I remember I would always go into the horror section and look at the books and the titles, and I was too terrified to ever read them. But a copy of The Shining was always there, and I don't know if you remember back in the 70s and 80s, those books were literally silver colored, right? And they would literally shine.
Yeah. Dude, and I got to give you a warning here. You told this story on the horror podcast.
Well, then, there you go. You're right. This is all
but
coming
let's,
back.
Well, but let's hear it again, because it freaked you out. The idea, you were like, oh, okay, reading horror books, whatever.
Yeah.
They kind of, you were scared of reading horror books.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. I have told
you
story
explained,
before.
Which is appropriate.
Yeah.
But continue. I'm
so
sorry.
Then, just in terms of books. So I finally got over it, read it. I was amazed. I was like, this guy can really write. Read everything else by him I could find. And then, like I said, Rose Matter was kind of the end. And I've tried to get back into it. I did read Under the Dome. And hey, here's ferocious reading. Here's my big bragging moment. I read that book in 2 days. 2 days, Joe.
You know what? That book, I started reading that book. Again, I'm lying to you. I listened to it.
Still.
Let's just say that I read it. Uh-huh. And then it was around the same time the series came out.
Okay.
And I watched like 4 or 5. Actually, I think I made it to the end of the season. And I fucking hated the show so much that I stopped reading the book.
Hey, I'm here to tell you that, and sorry, Stephen King fans that are out there, it's okay, because in as much as this book was for me literally, or not literally, but it was a marathon, because this book is over 1,000 pages long, and I read it in 2 days. I was very proud of that. Never mind the contents. I was just proud of the fact that I could consume that much literature in a 48 hour span. But it had one of the worst endings that I've ever read. It was so bad, Joe. So bad. So if you hated the TV show, I think you're better off not having finished that book.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel good, because I would like for us to get that audio, so whenever I do that fucking move, you can actually just play a Skeksy saying I.
Sure.
I say it a lot. Anyway, yeah. That's a tangent. I wanted to say, oftentimes, very good Stephen King stories are butchered in their adaptations to the screen. Just fucking butchered. So I don't know what went through my mind. I'm like, okay, this story is a fucking piece of shit, so I'm not even going to read it. But that's not really how Stephen King books work, like right. In relation to their adaptation. Like, you should trust Stephen King. But I guess I must have been onto something, because you're telling me the ending was so stupid. You're making me feel good about
it. Was
not reading the rest of the book. So.
It was extremely dissatisfying. And did you ever read Tommyknockers?
No, I didn't read that
him?
One.
Okay,
I heard that was a really good one, though. Like,
yeah,
really
so
scary one.
That one kind of was pointing in the same direction in terms of the where the ending was going to go, and the Tommyknockers ending was satisfying. I wouldn't say that it was the best one ever, but it was satisfying. And I felt like that's where Under the Dome was headed. But then I got there and I was like, really? This is it? This is it? I was just so offended.
You're saying this is all aliens, right? That's what those books have in common. Sorry, our listener is sitting there like Spoiler. They're halfway through Tommyknockers, and they're like, motherfucker, it's aliens?
Well, come on. How could you be halfway through and not know? They're digging up a goddamn spaceship. I mean,
oh,
I don't
know. Oh, is that how it starts? See?
Yeah.
All right. I gotta come up with some fucking better jokes. Get into this, Joe. Let's go.
You're doing fine.
Here, let me grab a beer here. The thing about my recording space is this. Do you hear that chair?
I do, yeah.
So terrible. So I'm going to get a beer.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh my God. So, and let me open that beer.
While you're doing that, I'll take a sip of my scotch.
All right.
So while we're on this subject, maybe we can talk about genre fiction in general, because you were sort of hinting at you felt like you were some kind of plebeian for liking Stephen King as opposed to high lit, I guess. But I like genre fiction. Now, I don't read a lot of horror per se, not because anything against it, just because usually the point of horror is the horror part of it. And I'm more of a there's other things I like about reading, but I'll read sci-fi, I'll read fantasy, I'll read that kind of thing. Are you a sci-fi fantasy guy of any measure, Joe? You got favorite sci-fi fantasy authors? Mystery, maybe?
I don't know. I did read, when I was younger, I read some like Arthur C. Clarke.
Okay, yeah.
I've read some Ray Bradbury, but when it comes to short, those are kind of short horror stories too, but they're very sci-fied out.
Like, yeah.
In an early sci-fi way, where they use words like rockets. Shit like that.
Yeah.
It's fucking Ray Bradbury, but
yeah.
I read The Illustrated Man, and I thought it was good sci-fi, really.
Yeah, yeah. I have not read that one.
It's a collection of short stories by Ray Bradbury, but not really the sci-fi thing. What are some good sci-fi books? Maybe I should get into it. I've watched a lot of sci-fi movies.
I'm looking at the books I've read this year. I should look at the previous books. I say sci-fi fantasy, and I think they get lumped together because it's easier on the bookstore owners to put them on one area as opposed to two different areas. But really, they're not the same thing. I mean, sci-fi is futuristic, and fantasy is often, you know, there's magic and stuff, but it's all obviously low-tech, right, as opposed to sci-fi. So I guess really I'm talking about fantasy. Every fantasy reader will evoke, I think, a few key names. You know, your J.R.R. Tolkien's, of course, who's sort of the godfather.
And I've read all of his.
Okay, well, there you go.
I've read the Lord of the Rings a couple times. I really read them.
Yeah.
I listened to them once, but I've read them twice.
Read them.
It's great.
Well,
if you like,
Tolkien is sort of, you know, like I said, the godfather of fantasy. He didn't invent it, but he definitely set it all up, and everything else draws from it. Have you heard of Terry Pratchett?
No.
Terry Pratchett writes essentially comedic fantasy novels. Most of his books are set on in a place called Discworld. And if you are a fantasy fan, and you're not saying that you are, but anybody who is a fantasy fan of any stretch has read or has heard of Terry Pratchett. I have never heard from or know of any human being who has read Terry Pratchett who doesn't love Terry Pratchett. I remembered from our childhood, you back in the day when we were kids, you loved that fantasy series Redwall, didn't you?
Oh, man, I forgot all about that. Yeah, I read the shit out of all of those books when I was young. And you remember that. That's cool.
What I remember is you liked it so much that I read the first one, and I enjoyed it. I didn't read any of the others, but I enjoyed it. And I remember hanging out with you. I don't remember where we were, your house, my house, somewhere. You were just going on and on about how there was a character named, I'm going to screw this up, Matthias. And you kept saying,
I called him Matthias.
Yeah, okay. And you kept saying, and he kept, and he, this is you, this is little Joe saying, and then he said, I am that is. I am that is. I'm like, okay. And you're like, those are all the same letters in Matthias. I am that is. You thought that was the coolest fucking thing that ever happened in a book up to that point in your life. I think you were 8 years old. So do you remember that?
Well, I guess I'm still Joe, because when you said I am that is, I was like, oh, silly young Joe. That's just stupid. I was impressed by, you know, just really weak shit. And then you explained that it was all the same letters, and my mind was re-blown, and I'm totally fucking into it. Better reread all those books.
Yeah.
There's badgers, and there's rats, and there's, like, you know, Mathias was the, you know, the reincarnation of Martin, which is like this warrior mouse from days of yore, and it was cool. And thing is, by the time I read Lord of the Rings, it occurred to me, my head perked up, and I'm like, man, Redwall, huge fucking ripoff of Lord of the Rings.
I had no idea. Everything in fantasy, well, not everything, but a lot of things are going to be
ripoffs. It's all very derivative of Tolkien, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. So,
you asked me, what about all the fantasy books that you've read, and I couldn't come up with any. But I think that's really cool, Jason, that you remember, actually, when I was a kid, what fantasy books I was reading. Holy shit. And because you're like, ah, fuck it, I'll read it too. We all like it.
It's a thing. I like it when people say, hey, I really like this book, and I like to go and read that book. They didn't have to say they liked it, just to say that they're reading it. Like, a lot of the books that I've read over the last few years, I've read because my wife is listening to them. Books on tape, you know. One of those from this year, in fact, is a book called Pretty Girls by Karen Slaughter, and it was terrible. Oh, man, it was terrible. In fact, Thunvi, who is... Okay, I'm...
You roboted out. You totally roboted out. You're talking about your wife, Allison?
Yeah, but my thumb is... So I had my thumb on... anyway, I don't know. It's too much scotch. My wife, Allison, read this book, and I said, oh, I'm going to read it too so we can talk about it. She said, don't bother. It was really dark and stupid. I didn't like it. But I read it anyway, and she was right. It was dark and stupid, and it was
– Now, that is the hallmark of a voracious reader, Jason. When somebody is like, oh, I'm reading this book, and you're like, how is it? And they're like, oh, it's a fucking turd. Like, I'd rather read a turd. I'd rather read my name written in turd on fucking concrete.
Sure, yeah.
It's a really bad book. And then you were like, I don't fucking read it. I'll read it anyway, because I just read all the time. Let's do this.
It's,
anyway, again, I envy that.
Well, you know, I do, you know, if I don't like a book, but I have to finish it, I think I can read pretty quickly if I need to and kind of plow through it. I mean, this was not a book that was, you know, had a remarkable, lovely sentences that just flowed. And it was a book about a woman who – I'm going to just reveal it. A woman who finds out her husband is a serial rapist, and she doesn't know what to do about it. And it was just as schlocky as you can imagine. But because of my wife, I also read – I read Gone Girl. I read The Girl on the Train. Pretty much any book that's been published in the last
few
years.
Hey, I read that one. Here, it's
– Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, I got to tell you right now, Jason. Your audio is going in and out. Here, just a couple notes on the audio that's coming through. You're roboting, and then when you're not roboting, it sounds like you're giving your microphone a blowjob. So, like, make a couple adjustments. Something's going on. Like, your bandwidth is struggling, and you're giving your microphone a blowjob. Together, that's a robot giving a blowjob, and it's just not good podcasting.
That is not good, because as everyone knows, C-3PO doesn't have lips. So, anyway, hopefully the recording is okay, and it's just the throughput that's not good, because hopefully, I mean, it's recording and it's a bandwidth thing. Fingers crossed. I don't know, or this is a shitty episode. Why not? I mean, it's about books. The audio is supposed to be
I'm rather enjoying this, but here's the thing. You were roboting out, and I wanted to hear what you had to say. So you said you, because of this, well, you read Gone Girl, right?
Did you read that one?
I thought that's what you said, but you
Yeah,
were
I did. Yeah, I did.
I didn't read that one, but I did read, and I rather enjoyed, The Girl on the Train. Mm-hmm. Again, I read it, okay? I read it. I was weed whacking at the time, but I was also reading.
Sure.
And I thought that was a really cool book, and then, you know, you read about the book that you just read, and you read reviews and stuff, and everybody's just like, oh, it's poor man's Gone Girl, and, you know, it would have been good if it wasn't just ripping off Gone Girl all day long, and I was like, well, I don't know. I saw the movie Gone Girl. I thought it was fucking really cool. Was the book really good?
Gone Girl? No, it's terrible.
Yeah.
The ending, again, the ending was so just anticlimactic and terrible. I was angry. I was like, fuck you. Fuck you, the character. Fuck you, the writer. Fuck you, the people who thought this was the really good book. Something you gotta understand, Joe, is I am really, really critical about books, and I am a super snob, so I'm not even gonna lie about that. Like, it is tough for me to read a book and say, oh, that was good. I mean, I've gotten to a point in my life where I just accept the fact that there is a big chance when I pick up a book that it's going to be bad. I'm pretty sure it's going to be bad. Very rarely do books impress me. Most of the time I read them with the expectation
this
it's going
to
be terrible.
This is great. Put a pin in that too, because okay. You're going to hear a little bit later about how most books actually are just pieces of shit.
Okay.
Anyway, so you vouch for that. Right, you really think that a lot of books just suck? You're just constantly reading books, so you can give me statistics. Like, what do you think?
Yeah.
Of all the books that you've read, how many of them? Give me a percentage. How many of these books are just literary turds?
I'm going to say 75%. It might be higher. I'm looking at
so
the
most books suck. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah.
And these are published. These are published books.
Yeah. I could go on about the hypocrisy of the publishing world, but I'm looking at just the books I've read this year, and because I use Goodreads, and if you don't use Goodreads, everyone should use Goodreads. It's a great way to track what you've read and discuss what you've read. But here's a book that I read because my mom read it, and it was terrible. Let's see. Here's some books I've read before. Here's a bunch of books that should have been articles in magazines, not whole fucking books. There's Pretty Girls, that was terrible. The Ghost Network, that was awful. Arthas, that was so bad. I just want to... Oh, jeez, I can't even tell you how bad that book was. Arthas is a book about a character from World of Warcraft, and I wanted to get his background, and people worship this woman who writes these books, and I'm just... You know, this is how bad it was. The very first page, I stopped reading. I went over to my computer and I rewrote it the way I thought it should be written, so that it wasn't such a shitty pile of sentences. And I still have that. And I sometimes read that page that I wrote thinking, okay, this is writing. And yeah, I'm bragging right now, whatever. But it's just so cheesy and ham-handed. Anyway, that's me being a snob. But yeah, I'd say 75% of the books that I've read.
But again, I commend you, and I admire the fact that you're so into reading. You're so into reading and writing that you'll read a shitty page of a book. You'll read the rest of that book later, by the way. But you'll even rewrite that one fucking page and then continue reading the shitty book.
Yeah.
Because such is your devotion to the written word.
I guess it's
amazing.
We can maybe cap it by saying, you know, most everyone has things that they're good at and they enjoy doing, and it doesn't have to be anything that's productive or useful. And I feel like I'm good at reading, at least for my sake. When I get done with a book, I'm happy, right? I'm glad that I read that book. I'm glad that I finished it. I feel like I've accomplished something. You know, when I finish a video game, or when I finish off a pie, or I finish, you know, watching a TV show, I'm glad those things are done. But I don't feel accomplished. Even a shitty book, when I'm done, I'm like, well, I've done that, right? So I'll read a shitty book because it's just so hard to find good ones. Although there are some good ones out there, Joe, and I will spend a whole other episode just giving you a list of some amazing books that I've read in my life. But we are at minute...
You know, I was looking forward to some recommendations from you. But you're saying you're a good reader. Do you feel like you're a good writer?
I think that I'm a good writer. I'm extremely biased, but for what it's worth, I've won awards. I don't know if the competition was there, if it was political or what, but I've won awards, so I got that.
Well, I'm a fan, and I like the way you write. And I would say, so you're saying you're a very good reader. There's evidence that you're a good writer. You think that you're a good writer.
I think that I'm a good writer.
I would tend to agree. And here also, I'm trying to segue here because this is kind of amazing that we're dancing around these things. You're also saying that 75% of the books that you've read are pieces of shit. I've got this copy here for an ad, and it's just – the fact that you don't, that you've never read this ad, kind of blows my mind a little bit. It just it's such a part of our discussion. I feel like we should just do it now.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it now. And you're going to read this ad.
Yeah, I'm going to read it.
Okay.
And I didn't mean to cut you off. I know that you're kind of building up steam there. I hope you finished your thought, but
no,
I feel like we're ready for this shit right now.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's do this. All right. Let's do an ad. Let's do an ad. What do you think? Should we do an ad?
I would like to.
Yes. Here we go. Let's do this goddamn ad.
Here at Penguin Random House Publishing, we don't want to publish your fucking book. The problem is that it sucks really bad. However, if you and every other terrible writer can't get it through your impenetrable skull that your novels are embarrassing and unreadable, perhaps you just need a few tips on how to get published. Today, as a courtesy, we at Penguin Random House present a list of submission guidelines that might help. 1. Write a book. Don't just talk about writing the book that you'll never write, you fucking douchebag. 2. Write a book that's worth a shit. 3. Find all your favorite lines in your book and delete them. No questions asked. 4. Submit your manuscript to every appropriate publisher, paying attention to genre, and get ready for unending rejection. 5. Be rejected in writing 1,000 times. 6. Give up. 7. Realize that 75% of the books you've read are pieces of shit, but somehow they were published anyway. 8. Consider resubmitting your half-assed novel. Then think again. 9. Give up again. At Penguin Random House, we support any novelist in their efforts to focus on their fucking day job. But we also publish books. So stop writing and start reading. In fact, go out to your local bookstore and pick up one of our most recent releases. This month, we're spotlighting a new series of classic literature, re-edited to meet today's lower standards and retitled to reflect each modernized version. Crack open one of these time gems today. A separate piece of shit. The Barely Satisfactory Gatsby. The Adventures of Jim and Cracker Huck. Mediocre Expectations. Bore and Peace of Shit. A Tale That's Too Shitty. And don't forget Homer's epic tale of the Trojan War, The Idiot. Here at Penguin Random House, the classics are just a fraction of what we offer. For instance, if you're in the mood for something written this century, crack open the hardcover of our current bestseller, Quentin Tarantino's fantastic
Ninja
book, A White Person's Guide to Proper Usage of the Word
Ninja.
Enjoy a Penguin Random House publication today. And stop pretending that you can write. Thank you.
You know, I was sent some copy from Larco, and it's also about publishing. That's a nice coincidence. I was looking up while you were reading that, Joe, and I apologize. You kind of roboted there a bit. I don't know how good the audio is going to be for our listener, but I'll see what I can do.
I was roboting.
Just a little bit. That's my fault. I don't know what's wrong with my bandwidth. But I was looking up Penguin Random House's latest book list, and as you were giving me those titles, I was reading them on their website. I was like, yep, that one, yep, that one, yep, that one. Especially that last one. Pretty bold of them to put it in huge – bold, you know, big, no pun intended, big bold letters on their page there. And they, look, I don't want to get political, but they said it was a certain famous politician's favorite book. He hadn't read it, but he liked the title. So, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I guess Quentin Tarantino somehow, he kind of like has a pass.
For some
people kind of trust him to use any word that he wants as often as he wants.
Yeah.
And I actually agree. Somehow he pulls it off. Nobody else I've ever met has been able to pull that off except for Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. Exactly. So. I'll tell you what, I'll read this one and then we'll get back to this. Larco sent this over. Here we go.
Okay.
Larco Publishing, a subsidiary of Larco Megapelvic Enterprises, LLC, is proud to present three new tomes for your literary collection. First off, we have Silence of the 151 Shades of Dalmatian, a feel-good horror, rom-com, true sex crime, sci-fi, western, summertime beach read, perfect for curling up with next to the electric fire this fall. Cassie Potter suffers from vitiligo and is president of her local Dakota Fanning fan club. When a tall, dark stranger asks her if he can flay her skin to make a woman suit, she can't help but fall head over heels. Dred Gilligan of the New York Refuge said, "This is a book I read." Fran Potter, writer for the Cats and Daughters blog, said, "I give it five paws and a whisker." Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times said, "I don't review books, I review movies. Also, I'm dead." Next up, we have Volume 3 of our much-celebrated Inside the Authors series, a coffee table picture book of artists' renditions of the speculums used in the gynecological exams of famous female writers, including Harriet Beecher Stowe, Flannery O'Connor, and Ariana Grande's great-grandmother Beatrix Villanueva, who wrote Goldberg's Catechism, a collection of nursery rhymes for children with hydrocephalus. And finally, we've got something for you poetry lovers, a new chapbook by Douglas Tiltbank called When You Get Caught Between the Moon and Eggs Over My Hammy, poems inspired by listening to Christopher Cross while eating cold bacon in a South Beach Denny's. Included in the collection, a haiku called The Way the Pantyhose on Your Knees Shines When You Squat to Tie Your Shoes, and a cycle of 17 sonnets called Snakes for Hire, LinkedIn's a Liar. Also, a sestina called Ogre's Balls. These three new books are flying off our virtual bookshelves faster than we can virtually print them for your online reader, so order now before we run out. All of them are available in English, Portuguese, Sanskrit, and Braille, and we offer discounts for book orders going to book clubs, grade school classrooms, and state penitentiaries. Put down the remote control, pick up a book. Larco Publishing, putting the ooh in books.
All right.
I've read all of those, and they're great. They're great. I read the coffee table picture book in Braille also, and it was good. It was really good.
You're down. You can do the Braille thing. That's pretty impressive, man.
There's parts of my body that I can read Braille with. Yeah, I'm not going to say what they are, but maybe now that we're still in radio silence here by Radio Silence. I mean, I'm not playing background music. So, what's his name? Flipperfoot Giovanni will be happy about that. Do you want to do your argument for cancellation?
Dude. Yeah, but maybe I'm popping my peas, but I'm a little concerned about the audio. I don't know how it's coming through. You're roboting, but then the words that come through are really funny because I think you just said Flipperfoot Giovanni.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
I think we should have Superfan Giovanni listen to this episode.
Just because I said that, yeah.
He did. I wanted to give you a little update. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just because every time you make up a new name for him, it makes me giggle. Mm-hmm. Everything else was roboted out, so I didn't know what the hell you were talking about at all. But he asked, by the way, this is for our listener, this is the guy who has a podcast review podcast. And he says he told us that he's going to review our podcast. It hasn't happened. The first time I brought this up, I think it was like 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. He still hasn't done it. But he did send me a message today saying, "Okay, we're going to review your podcast. Why don't you give us one that you think is, you know, really representative?" Which I thought was, you know, that was kind of him.
Yeah.
I told him to go ahead and listen to the video game episode. And I would tell our listener to listen to that. That episode too. I think it's really good.
Do you remember which
number anyway,
that was?
Flipperfoot Giovanni, I hope you like that episode, and maybe we'll tell you to listen to this episode too.
Sure.
So you can hear your new nickname.
Well, with that in mind, if he doesn't and he says to us, "Your podcast is shit, you should stop now," would you agree with him? Would you say that there is a reason we should stop this podcast? Do you have an argument for cancellation, Joe?
I do. I'm ready to go.
All right, here we go.
Sometimes.
But stop it. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of JBC's Arguments for Cancellation. I'm going to open a beer real quick. And I'm going to light a cigarette. Jason?
Yes.
Joe. We're talking about books today, and books, really, in order to have a good book, and that's only 25% of the published books, you need to have a good command over language.
Yeah.
We normally deal in the English language. I understand that you're familiar with many more languages than just that. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. We struggle with language, sir. We struggle with it. Mm-hmm. For people that are dealing in words, I mean, let's just stick with the, you know, we're trying to do a podcast, but we both also write things. And that's a little, I don't know, that's a little discouraging, I think, because our use of words is questionable. Let me tell you, we're very, very repetitive. Not just repetitive. You made it clear on a previous podcast. There's repetition, and then there's extreme repetition, which is redundancy. Even that sentence that I just said is fucking redundant. But wait till you hear this fucking montage. There's redundancies. There's made up words, because we can't think of a fucking word that exists half the time, so we have to make up a new one. We switch out consonants, you know, which is like a dyslexic thing. I'm not trying to disparage anybody with dyslexia, but we don't have dyslexia, so we shouldn't have that problem. It's just part of our, you know, ongoing problem with the English language. And we stumble over words. We don't understand the true definition of the words that we say half the time. It gets really bad. But again, I have put together a montage that really displays all of these problems. You'll see what I'm saying. I call this one JBQ, which is just be quiet.
Okay, here we go.
Hit it.
I don't know if this will work. What the hell? Why are you starting this? This is sorry, folks. I don't know if this is going to work. This is a WAV file, not an MP3, so. My computer is starting a new program.
Symbol, sigil, signal, sign.
That sounded kind of strokey right there.
Sympatical. Fuck.
Well, nothing defends a brutal golf swing like a top shelf tennis racket.
Andrew, your iPhone, your Windows phone, or one of them, what do you call them? Tablet pad things.
I was about to say a credenza is some sort of pastry, isn't it?
Go to the app store of your chisels and download the train braining app today.
There's bulging veins. Bulging veins.
Bulging veins. You will become indefensible.
Our themes are not redundant. They're not redundant.
And you know what? They're not redundant.
Redundant. I have a unicorn horn coming off the top of my erection.
I've got a unicorn penis.
You haven't touched on a unicorn penis because they don't exist. There is a unicorn horn growing out of the top of my erection. A unicorn penis. Unicorn penises exist. Unicorn penis. My own dick had a unicorn horn.
Is stupider a real word? Because I use it a lot.
Stupid. The whole episode.
Imbecode. Maybe this is an imbecode.
Yeah. Stupider. Nearest prostitute in your area.
The prostitute. That's a portable prostitute.
Stupidest.
You ever heard of a cronut?
Wanted
it's a
to
metal
one.
Testicle. A little strokiness in your speech.
Double slumber blips, singing poops. In addition to Medusa, the dicks of a spoke, aspirin also snuffleupagates the pine cone of a shark on crack. Shard attack. I mean to say, Sesame Street on ice. What I say to me? Ask your double cheeseburger about World Series poker today. Oh, my dog, I stink I'm shaving a dork right now. Slut bunny scalp me, sleaze. Dung puppy, cheese.
Back home, folks. Joe. Hi. I think you fucking convinced me.
I think you just fucking convinced me.
sometimes dead is better.
That was hilarious.
Indeed.
They're well, cracking me up. That was, you're right. We,
I don't know if it was funny, but no, it was, I was it saying was indeed to sometimes dead is better.
Yeah.
Did you notice how just how hard we struggle to
we
speak?
Do. We I do. Mean, I think it's I think it's I want to say charming, but what's the opposite of charming? It's not charming. I can't imagine anybody's listening to this going, oh yeah, that's cute. They're probably going, oh, those poor guys. They need to stop now. That was good, yeah. Though.
Well, it's been a while since I've done a montage.
You have not lost your skills. You're still the montage master. I'm telling you, Joe, when Jam Your Bucket Giovanni listens to the episode, he's going to listen to montage and go, I'm hiring that guy to do montages because... Okay, now I'm trying too hard to make up silly names for this guy. We only have a...
No, it's I really like it.
We only got a few minutes here left in the hour. I don't want to put you on the spot, Joe, so I'll talk first and then you come... You think. Don't listen. Just think. I'm going to tell you one book recommendation to everybody. I want you to read it, Joe. I want our listener to read it. I want everyone to read it. It's not... I'm not going to go ahead and say that it's the number one best book that I've ever read. I don't know that I could pick the best book because it's always a matter of mood and time of year and blah, blah, blah. But this is a book that I feel absolutely everyone should read. In fact, you know what this book is for me, Joe? It's sort of like a litmus test. Like if someone were to read this book and I say, what do you think? And they did not respond. If they didn't ejaculate with enthusiasm, then I would think that they're not worth my time. They are not worth my time. This book is that amazing. Okay. And it's
Holy
called.
Shit. I wonder if I've read it.
I don't think you have because I don't think it's super duper well known. I'm not trying to be a hipster here or anything like that. I just mean it's not getting as much renown as it should. The book is called.
Well, don't be a douchelberry. Just tell us what the book. Okay. Tell us what the book is.
The book
no,
is.
What is it? I'm very curious.
Here we go. The book is called "The Stench of Honolulu: A Tropical Adventure." And was written by Jack Handy. Yeah, the Deep Thoughts guy.
Is that the Saturday Night Live guy?
Yeah, him.
Holy shit, really?
It is.
Are you fucking with me?
I'm not fucking with you.
Jack
this book is so fucking good. And I don't mean like it's Pulitzer Prize winning, Booker Prize winning good. I don't mean like Hilary Mantel has won the Booker Prize a few times. Her books are really, really good. Like, top shelf. I'm always blown away by her. Just genius. Paul Beatty wrote one of the more recent winners, a book called The Sellout, which I really recently read. And it was also just amazing. I was just like, wow, this is really good. Percival Everett is one of my favorite writers of all time. Thomas Berger.
What is that? What is this award? You just made me realize that actually if you just start reading books that have won awards.
Yeah.
Wow, what a fucking breakthrough. Yeah.
No, anyway. Not maybe, yeah. For another time. Not all award winners are necessarily books you'll enjoy, but here's my point. Those books are all, those writers are all geniuses, right? This is what I would aspire to as a writer. But Jack Handy, his book, it is genius on a completely different, in a different realm. And it's not going to win any awards, unfortunately. It's not going to, you know, be taught in schools, but he has sent.
Is it really funny too?
It's hilarious.
This is Jack Handy. It's got to be funny. Yeah.
I used to write reviews for books. Here's the review I wrote. Right, and I'm going to read the whole review, but I just want to describe, just give you a sense of what I'm getting at in terms of its brilliance.
Yeah, I'll read it. That's
I'm not
cool.
I won't read the whole thing, but this is how I started. This is how the review started. When you are reading a book by Jack Handy and you come across a sentence such as, "The sun was like a blazing ball of fire in the sky," you know you are witnessing genius. Because yes, the sun literally is a blazing ball of fire in the sky. So structuring the sentence as a metaphor is ironic. But the word fire has connotations of heat.
Ding, 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 ding. That's fucking fun.
Yeah. It's funny on so many levels, and he does that for the whole fucking novel. Like, I think any idiot can come up with a Jack Handy-ish sentence, you know? Something pithy and like, oh, that's something Jack Handy would say. But you couldn't do it for a whole goddamn novel. And it's nonstop, Joe. It is nonstop. You're like, okay, I'm going to read until I get to a serious sentence. And then you finish the book. You're like, well, that was the whole record novel. The whole thing is just awesome. And I think that's what I like about really good writing is when a writer gets an idea and they don't let go of it and they just work it. Anyway, The Stench of Honolulu by Jack Handy. Everyone should read this book ASAP. It is amazeballs.
All right, I'm going to do that. And sure. You know what? When it comes to just perfect irony and just killing me with humor, I got to tell you, I'm reading one of your books right now.
Oh, yeah?
And goddamn, you're good at it. I mean, we don't have to – I don't want to just – I think that our listeners should know. And you can look it up. I know that you have a – you have a pen name. It's not your real name, but yeah. The name of the book is A Night Without Sunshine.
Yes, that's right.
And it's damn good, man.
Well, thank you.
I can't wait to finish it. And and when you talk about Jack Handy and that line, I'm not to say that you're in any way derivative of Jack Handy, but like that, the fact that you aspire to that type of like irony and humor. I think you're not just aspiring, like you're achieving it for real.
Thank you.
So, good job, man.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
And let me tell the listener real quick. That book is about a private detective. That's right. A private dick who is a cucumber that lives in a world comprised of all vegetables, sentient living vegetables.
That's right.
And yep. Just that puts a smile on my face. But once you start reading it and it's, you know, in the style of you know, crime noir and goddamn well done.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I do hope you enjoy it. We're over time here. Could probably, you know, like any other episode where we talk about things we like, we could probably go on and we probably should do another book episode. I don't know if you would like me to discuss the book that I'm reading right now, which was written by somebody that I know, or if, like, I should.
Yeah, I mean, it's if it's the one I'm thinking of, it's not published. I've never heard your thoughts on it. If it's the book that we're thinking about, let's stop dancing around it. Say a couple things.
Yeah, well, I'm reading a book right now called Bloodsuckers. That is the name of it, right? Right, that's the name of it.
I
thought that was the name. Okay, so I'm always been really bad with titles in general. So that's what it was called in when I got the package with the book in it. That's what was on the front. But is it called Star of a Fever? Is that the name of it, or is that just the name of the first chapter? This is embarrassing because I want to say nice things.
That's fine. I mean, it's not like it's a book. You know, the presentation, I'm sure, was very confusing. But the name of the book is Starve a Fever.
Okay, that's okay. I apologize. It's about vampires, so maybe that's why it was. I'm thinking Bloodsuckers. I don't have it in front of me right now, but Starve a Fever, and it's about vampires. And you know, I talked about genre fiction before, and so obviously if. The book you're reading that I wrote is genre fiction. It's a mystery. And the book that you wrote is quote unquote genre fiction because it's about vampires, you know, whatever. But you right off the bat, you've got this really great. And Joe, I'm not going to, this show's going to go for another 2 hours if I talk about writing style, because that's kind of my thing. But you've got dry, sardonic voice that's going on there. So it's like, yeah, there's vampires, but you know, fuck them, they're not this, they're that, they're not this, it's sort of like a beat down, like been there, done that, you know, let's get on with it kind of voice. It's really strong, consistent. I like that. It's matter of fact. And if this holds up, I think it will. What I'm anticipating is, when I've seen this voice used in other novels, is that it lends itself to an even more overwhelming sense of horror when you get to the oh shit moment. Because like in a book or a movie where you've got an innocent person who confronts something terrible, you know, it's like, well, of course they're shocked. When Little Red Riding Hood runs into the werewolf or runs into the wolf, you're like, of course she's like, oh, no, it's a wolf. But when somebody who's just, like, world-weary and seen it all, when they're fucking shocked, then you know, oh, shit, this is some serious shit. So that's what I'm looking forward to in this book, you know. You see what I'm getting at? I mean, I don't want you to have to explain your book, but you see what I'm getting at, right? So, for me,
and I really appreciate that, and I think you'll find if I was successful, I think it's a little bit, it's maybe genre bending a little bit. I don't know. I couldn't stick with one genre.
Sure.
There's some like sci-fi in there, and there's some horror. And
yeah.
I can't stay away from trying to like crack jokes. And I would enjoy to have your notes on it too, but I understand you were telling me, you know, I'm just going to read it like I'm reading a book. Like
we
can deal with the, you know, what could be better later.
Right.
Before
right.
I sent it to you, I was reading some of it and I was like, oh, this could be better phrased, and some of the language could be improved, but we don't need to. I don't want to hammer on that right now. I just want to say I'm glad that you're finally reading it, and I'm happy to be finally reading your book. And I jumped right into your book. Like, I have nothing to say, but I'm just fucking enjoying myself. And isn't that what a book should be?
Should be, yeah.
Just enjoyment. Yeah.
At the end of the day, and I guess we can kind of cap things off here. At the end of the day, a book.
Sure.
I don't think books. I mean, there are books out there that are revolutionary and they inspire and motivate and all that good stuff. But at the end of the day, I think books are pure works of art, in as much as you can jump in, you know, immerse yourself and then come out, and that's it. If you change somewhat, if the book moved you, great, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the case. I think if a book is just something that you can be inside for a while, then it's done its job, and I think that's just a beautiful thing. So there, I'll close that way.
Well, that's wonderful. Hey, so you gave a good recommendation. I wanted to give kind of a bit of an obscure recommendation before we close down.
Yeah.
And that would be, and maybe you've read this because you've read so many goddamn books, but there was this book called The Bumblebee Flies Anyway. That was a good book. It's for young teenagers, actually. And there's also The Chocolate War, which also was for, you know, it's adolescent reading type of thing. Young adult book, right? Well, that same guy, I think you pronounce his name Robert Cormier, or, you know, when I was young, I said, oh, it's Robert Cormier. But yeah, it's Robert Cormier, I believe.
Okay.
He wrote, I read when I was very young, I read all of his young adult novels, and I thought they were really good and kind of scary. They were like, you know, Brave New World, like 1984, like they were kind of scary, like Lord of the Flies, like what the hell are we doing type of social commentary thing. Well, he wrote this book, and this is my recommendation to everybody. He wrote this book called Fade, and it was just straight up scary, and it certainly was not for young adults. It's super dark, and there's a lot of horrible shit that goes down. And basically it's a book about a guy who, when he hits puberty, he has this experience where he can become invisible, but it's like this really painful, terrible experience to become invisible. And it turns out it's like this genetic trait that goes from like uncle to nephew. And to become invisible starts to infect you morally, because he sees these opportunities to be invisible. And he has to fight this kind of natural tendency to turn into a fucking horrible person, an invisible person. It's just such a fucking good book. And not to really give anything away, but maybe, I don't know. But the thing is, this is uncle to nephew. And so there becomes this, by the end of the book, it's like a showdown between two invisible people. One who has fought off all of these evil tendencies and has decided to kill all of the other invisible people because they're all fucking horrible. And of course, the one that he needs to kill is someone he's related to, because it's a genetic trait.
It's
a showdown between an evil invisible person and a still kind of good invisible person. It's called Fade by Robert Cormier.
Okay.
Just awesome.
See, here's why I love talking about books, because I want to read this. It reminded me of like two or three books. When you said that, that inspired me to say, oh, have you read this book? And that's what I love about books, is that you read something good and you're like, they're all connected in some way, right? And we don't have time right now for me to go into it, but definitely I'm going to add the book episode to the list of episodes we need to do again, right? We need to do more music episodes, more video game episodes, or another horror movie episode. We definitely need to do another book episode, because I thoroughly enjoyed
this. Yeah, totally. That's a lot of fun, dude. A lot of fun.
Absolutely. All right, should we... Although that's the case, we should probably end this farce. The audio has been terrible, and no one will listen to it anyway. So, should we get out of here?
I hope it's not too robot-y for everybody. I hope it didn't robot out all of the quality.
Hopefully.
Who am I kidding? Fingers, there's no quality.
Fingers crossed. I am going to play now the Joe-recommended outro music. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'll play the whole thing. So,
all right.
Anything you want to say, Joe, as we go?
You know, keep reading, everybody, and encourage your children to read. I can go twice as high. Because take a look. It really helps us understand each other. You read, you start to understand other people's emotions. It helps you to develop empathy. So encourage the children to read.
Yeah. Good night.
A reading rainbow. Books, motherfuckers!